like scary movies?
What about science fiction and cult films? Then please visit Shocking Things. You can search for us on your favorite podcatcher. You can also go to anchor.fm/shockingthings for the main hub for the links to episodes and our social media. Now try and enjoy the daylight. Shocking Things.
Tracy Smothers, Harley Race, Tim Storm, Bushwhacker Luke, Bobby Fulmer.
The Pro Wrestling Volume 1.
Bill Dundee, Super Mix Hernandez, C.W. Anderson, Ricky Morton, Sir Mo, and many others share their stories of determination, triumph, and sorrow. Get your book today at Russellville.com or at Amazon.com.
Russellville, it's wrestling day.
BST presents Mega Clash, August 20th, from the Rapola Center in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Watch newly crowned Monarch champion Edie De La Rosa defend her title against Vina Von Starr. A rivalry reignited in the main event. Lucas Chase challenges Dustin Waller in a ladder match for the BST Championship. It all comes to a head one final time.
What's going on, everybody? This is the PWZ Podcast. This is Rick Del Santo. And joining me today, Showtime Marcel Williams. What is going on, my friend?
What's going on? Before we even start this on a July 21st, 2022, as we review Dynamite, I may not be uppity up and battling. I'm probably a little cold that I'm trying to fight. But we are here to review Dynamite. Fighter Fest week 2 from Hotlanta. What was your thoughts on Dynamite as a whole, you know, from top to bottom, in your opinion, as we on the eve of ROH?
I thought it was okay. It wasn't fantastic. We can get into that, though. There was a couple things that I was not particularly happy about. But as we go along, I will express my, I don't want to say hatred, but I will explain how I feel about certain segments and matches throughout. Of course, very judgmental sometimes. You know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially when it comes to professional wrestling. So I guess we should start it off with the first. After the intro, we went with Brody King and Darby Allin. Brody King, pretty much. I think that when we talked about this last week, we predicted that Brody King was going to kill Darby Allin, and that's pretty much what happened. He choked the living hell out of this guy.
Yeah, he choked him. He threw him around. He dominated him. You know, Darby Allin played his strengths as a little guy against Brody King, and he just slaughtered him in this opener, and they showcased Brody King real well ever since the Royal Rampage, and then he had the match against Jon Moxley for the interim AEW Championship. I guess they got all their seeds planted for Brody King, which is fine because now we got big guys that's starting to show out on AEW. We got Wardlow, we got Brody King, we got Malachi Black. These guys are all tall, big guys that stand out, and he showed his strength against Darby Allin. A win that was well-deserved.
After the match, of course, Brody continued to pummel him and put the rear naked choke, hanging him from the rope over the floor, and then just dropped him there. Sting came out for the save. And then him and Brody went at it, and he held Sting for Malachi to come out and spit the mist into his eyes as well.
Yeah, Sting reliving the mist. You know, he had history with it with the Great Muta. So now he got the black version of Malachi back. But yeah, they got taken over by Black and Brody King. And then we had Miro's song hit. He comes out with the sunglasses. It looked like his left eye is kind of like a little bit shaded from all the past mist, as we've seen, as Black has done to other people. So whose side do you think he gonna choose?
I have a feeling he might align himself with Sting and Darby. It seems that way, at least.
That would make sense. And yeah, as soon as Buddy Matthews make his return back, we should have a very good, entertaining trios match.
Is he injured, Buddy Matthews?
I haven't heard anything. I heard he was kind of injured, but he was still working on it. But I haven't heard anything like extra where he was down for a while. So there's a lot of people injured in the wrestling world right now. And I heard his name was one of them, but I didn't think that he was injured enough to be out.
I want to say hello to the Guardian of Chaos. Thank you for tuning in this evening. And we had Cole Carter, the former Troy Two Dimes Donovan in NXT, was backstage. Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs walked up to him, and Starks referenced Carter's death on NXT. But Carter said he'd win the FTW championship tonight.
Yeah, it's a little dig to NXT 2.0. Cole Carter has made appearances on Dark, getting the W's, and now he was qualified for the FTW championship match against Ricky Starks. A lot of people I heard criticize about him getting his title shot, which a belt that really don't mean anything anyway, but
it's not an AEW title, just kind of like the same thing it was in ECW. It was not an ECW title.
It was
just there. It was a, I don't want to say fictional title, but a created title, I guess.
Yeah. So, I mean, truthfully, this was just an exhibition for a title that don't matter for AEW, but we'll talk about it later, what his performance of Cole Carter.
We had the Blackpool Combat Club of Moxley and Yuta taking on the Best Friends. I didn't think I was going to care for this match too much going into it, but it ended up being a pretty damn good match. There was a maneuver where Chuck Taylor pile drove John Moxley, and he looked like he speared him into the mat pretty hard.
Yeah, this was a stiff match between the four Best Friends, undefeated on Dynamite. I didn't know that until I found out the other day.
Wait, really?
Yeah, I didn't know that. You know, there was an undefeated streak with them together. But, Moxley and Will Yuta, they are showing some chemistry here with Bryan Danielson out and then Claudio doing his ROH thing. But this match was real good. Storytelling with Best Friends, with Yuta as their past collided here. And storytelling was made. They played rules on Yuta and tried to take advantage of him and his softness. And this became a real good match that I was interested in. I wasn't interested in it either on paper, but
yeah, they proved me wrong. Yeah, I wasn't really either. And then I actually ended up enjoying it quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's always good to, have these matches on paper. I don't like them, and then all of a sudden they surprise me. So I like to be proved wrong when I don't like a match that don't look good on paper.
That's kind of how I was with the Moxley Yuta match. I thought it was just going to be an annihilation, complete annihilation, and it ended up going for like 20 minutes. And it was like probably in that list that we have, that thick Bible for 2022 of greatest matches so far.
Crazy.
Let's see. We went to Swerve in Our Glory.
Can't wait to go through it.
Yeah. And, towards the end of the year, that's going to be a rough one to go through, man. Choosing everything.
It sure is.
So we had Tony Schiavone in ring. He interviewed Swerve in Our Glory for the World Tag Team Championship Celebration, and out comes Mark Sterling and Tony Nese.
They're here. Back again.
Yeah. Back here to harass. Oh, jeez. Went too far on my notes, Sam. Let's see here. Yes, Adonis. Let's see. Sterling offered to the petition to Gates in the front row. What was his name? He was a singer.
Kevin Gates.
Kevin Gates. That's right. Correct. Sorry. He has it in the chat. I'm sorry, Adonis. This is the first time you'll ever hear me say I'm sorry to you. and then they went after him. And Gates, did he lay out Mark Sterling?
He laid out Tony Nese, and then Mark Sterling was so shocked by it. And Strickland has Mark Sterling walk into the cake. And we had, truthfully, you know, if you see cake on wrestling television, we already know where it's going to go.
It's automatically a any professional wrestling show. Thank you, WWE, for doing that and starting that trend.
Great cameo with Kevin Gates looking shredded. You know, he lost a lot of weight and hitting the gym looking great.
Can I be honest about something here?
Go ahead.
Y'all are going to laugh at me, but I have no idea who the fuck he is.
You're not the only one I heard that from. You know, it's okay. You know, he makes some good music. You know, he's mostly a homebody for the ATL down south. You know, down south artists is kind of hard to get on the radio up here up north. And if they do, they got the one hit wonders that hit the north. But he's mostly a southern rapper who was in the mainstream a lot on social media.
Tracy Smothers, Harley Race, Tim Storm, Bushwhacker Luke, Bobby Fulton. The Pro Wrestling Vault, Volume 1. Bill Dundee, Super Mex Hernandez, C.W. Anderson, Ricky Morton, Sir Mo, and many others share their stories of determination, triumph, and sorrow. Get your book today at Russellville.com or at Amazon.com.
Russellville, Wrestling Biz.
BST presents Mega Clash, August 20th, from the Rafola Center in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Watch newly crowned Monarch champion Edie De La Rosa defend her title against Vina Von Starr. A rivalry reignited in the main event. Lucas Chase challenges Dustin Waller in a ladder match for the BST Championship. It all comes to a head one final time.
All right, cool. This segment, this next segment, rather. Well, not the segment. I'm going to skip over the segment, but I'm going to go to the next match. And I'm sure you know why. There's too many backstage segments.
Absolutely. There's a lot of them as we continue every time, every Wednesday, backstage segments that just not needed.
And before we get into this, we don't have to cover every backstage segment. I've decided, because it's like there's so many of them are just ridiculous. If I want to sit here and complain about them, it's just going to be a whole lot of complaining. I don't know what you're talking about, Adonis. Let's see. We had Christian Cage and Luchasaurus defeated the Varsity Blondes, and what happens afterwards? Jungle Boy makes his return. Luchasaurus aligns himself with Jungle Boy.
Wait. Before you say that, don't guarantee that yet. This may be a ruse, man, but...
You think it's a ruse?
I think it's a ruse, dude. I think we just got a little taste of mind control probably from Luchasaurus, from Christian Cage. And, you know, because there's no way you invested all this time with Luchasaurus changing the gear, changing the gimmick, getting the new pyro, just for him to sit there and be beside Jungle Boy. There's no way.
Christian Cage had a conniption fit in the ring. Yes, so I guess we're going to have to see. Now you think that it might not be happening. I mean, it is possible anything is happening. If you remember the whole back in, 98, 99, the DX split every week, somebody turned, but they would just rejoin the next week.
Yep,
whoever
knows NWO, Big Show, Dolph Ziggler. You know, it's just like it just goes on and on. What's going on to my guy Eric Hunting, man? My guy,
Eric Hunting. Happy to see you here, my friend. Now, the thing is, who has more heel face turns? Big Show or Kevin Owens?
Big Show is by far the leader of it. I mean, between him and Kane, those are only two that
probably tied up. It seems like every year, you know, right after Mania, Kevin Owens turns, whether it's face or heel.
Kevin Owens going to catch up soon, but
he still has a lot of time left in his career.
Yeah, he still got a lot of time left. Big Show and Kane are definitely the leaders.
Let's see. We had the Gun Club backstage after declining the claims. Match challenge. Last week, Austin said he wants Max Caster one-on-one in a rap battle with the winner getting to pick the stipulations for their eventual match. I can't wait to see this.
Yeah, this is going to be very entertaining. One of those segments that just need to be entertained by with this whole feud that's been going on. Maybe they should have kept it going with four. I hear a lot of that. Maybe they should have just let it milk it a little bit more because they was hot with all four together with Billy Gunn. But obviously they fast-tracked it. So now we got this going on with the rap battle. And, I mean, my boy kind of confident, man. He's confident in beating Max Caster.
Max Caster is awesome, according to Eric Hunting. Yes, he is, absolutely. He's been making his appearances on Wrestling Open, Beyond Wrestling's Wrestling Open show. Each week he's been out here in Worcester, Mass. It's kind of incredible. So, and he's been killing it on there. So,
but he got a rap battle against Austin Gunn. I don't know what is the biggest challenge of his career, but
maybe Austin Gunn's career. Maybe. Then we had the FTW championship, as we discussed about that championship. Ricky Starks defeated Cole Carter. Starks dominated at the start. Notably, the crowd hated Carter right away as he got loud boos and was when he took control. After commercial, a rising knee from Carter got two. He avoided a spear and hit a TKO before climbing the ropes. When Starks avoided a 450 splash, Starks then hit the spear for the win.
Yeah, this was a good match. You know, going in, I already knew Ricky Starks would get cheered. Ricky Starks is really hot right now. I feel like he's the future of this company. He can really talk. He can perform. He can tell a story in a ring. And hopefully he gets rid of this FTW championship because I kind of feel like it's kind of holding him down instead of him doing something else. But, you know, Carter had a good showing out there as well. Formerly Two Dimes at NXT 2.0, but he got a good showing. I don't know whether they're going to sign him or not or give him a chance, but obviously he had a good showing on Dynamite. But not good enough for Ricky Starks.
After the match, Starks said he still go. And so he welcomed another challenge. And who comes out? Danhausen.
Your boy.
That's my boy. He came out and accepted Stark's challenge. I said it wouldn't happen tonight, but it will next week. Oh, let me put this up on me. I'm going to put this up. Go ahead.
Do you think this miracle is going to happen?
What's that? Danhausen taking the FTW title?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I love Danhausen, but I don't see him. I mean, I love him and his gimmick. I think it's a great gimmick. But I don't see him taking any gold in AEW, to be honest with you. Eric Hunting says, Ricky Starks reminds me of a young Rock. I fully agree. He's got that charisma. He's got that look. A good-looking guy. This guy has all the potential in the world to be the biggest superstar in professional wrestling and in crossover.
Absolutely, I agree with that. Like I said, he has the charisma, he has the look, he can talk, he can tell a story in a ring. But this guy is the future. Besides MJF and all the rest of these guys, he is legit one of them. Great pickup for AEW.
Absolutely. There's very few guys that you can say that are going to be around and like lead this company, like, you know, superstar status. And I believe that he's definitely on one of those guys. Yeah. So we had Chris Statlander, Athena, and Willow Nightingale.
Wait.
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
No, we're going to rewind this because you missed a very important segment with the FTR.
That was after. That was after this.
Nah, it was before.
Well, according to my notes, the FTR
promo. Oh, wait, this is a promo?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Stan,
all right, Statlander. Yeah. Statlander is out of the tag match. And they said it was Stokely Hathaway's request. Athena teased going after the TBS championship, and eventually Willow got everyone together on the same page. And then there was the FTR promo. Tony Schiavone introduced them, and they got a great reaction. Cash talked about how FTR went to war with the Briscoes at Supercard of Honor. And he respects the Briscoes. I'm getting tongue-tied here. Respects the Briscoes, but they are not going to take what they've worked for away from them. Dax told the story of how a little girl was found to have a hole in her heart. 3 years later, the hole was closed. He said that girl worked her ass off to get better, and that little girl is Dax's daughter. So if she can work that hard, Dax needs to bring home the championships and legacy that they can be, or that she could be proud of.
This segment was great. Dax Harwood is becoming Wrestler of the Year.
Yes.
By far. This guy has sat here and had great matches, and this promo really hit well with the audience, with the AEW audience, and even the wrestling audience as a whole. He said if his 5-year-old daughter could work hard as hell and every day is not promised to her, and she worked hard to do it and get the hole closed, it doesn't take him to sit there and go out there in the wrestling world and accomplish what he needs to accomplish. And he's going to fight like a 5-year-old girl. 8-year-old girl now. So he's going to fight like an 8-year-old girl. He even got the shirt out now. The shirt is out.
Really?
Yeah, he got his shirt out. Fight like an 8-year-old girl. So, you know, this is one of those segments that – one of those promos that hits – hard with every father, every parent in the professional wrestling world. But this was a great segment.
I thought it was awesome. I love anytime these guys are on TV, they're just killing it, you know?
Yeah, Dax Harwood, man. It, like, both of them as a team is great, but Dax Harwood is just really showing off. He's showing off this year, man.
He really is. I mean, you know, every time there's a tag team, it's always who's better. You know what I mean? There's always like the weak link. And I hate to say that Cash is the weak link because he's really not a weak link. He's really not. Like, and remember when the match that they had against each other in the Owen tournament? Do you remember when Brett and Owen wrestled each other at WrestleMania 10, the first time they ever wrestled each other? Yeah. How intense that was for that 15 minutes, like how good it was. That's the kind of match that these guys have. Like, they're equally as good. But Dax, it just seems that guy can be a star. That guy, like, if by any chance they were to split up at all, I don't ever really see it happening. I mean, of course, tag team split up. Somebody goes on to a great singles career. I can see Dax becoming a very big singles star.
Yeah, I can see that happening as well.
On Saturday, Dax will fight like an 8-year-old girl. Top guys out.
Do you like scary movies? What about science fiction and cult films? Then please visit Shocking Things. You can search for us on your favorite podcatcher. You can also go to anchor.fm/shockingthings for the main hub for the links to episodes and our social media. Now try and enjoy the daylight.
PWZ Podcast with Rick Del.
Del Santo. For all your wrestling reviews, interviews, and news,
Rick covers the United Wrestling Network,
the NWA, and the Northeast region of the United States independent scene.
PWC
keeps you in the zone.
BST presents Mega Clash, August 20th, from the Rapola Center in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Watch newly crowned Monarch champion Evie De La Rosa defend her title against Vina Von Starr. A rivalry reignited in the main event. Lucas Chase challenges Dustin Waller in a ladder match for the BST Championship. It all comes to a head one final time.
Yo. So I'm going to run down the Ring of Honor card before we get out of here, actually. So because I guess it's sort of related. It's AEW, ROH. Or I tried to come up with something clever, but I can't. So Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt, and Satnam Singh were backstage. Lethal complained about Samoa Joe, yet again, not coming to work and defending the ROH Television Championship. ROH doesn't have TVs. How the hell is he going to defend the Television Championship?
Exactly, and you got upcoming title shot against Samoa Joe, so why are you complaining?
Yeah, exactly. Unless they announce something soon, the title is, and I hate to say this, you know I don't like to judge. I think there's a lot of potential with this, but it's just, there's no TV. The title's pointless unless there is TV.
So true.
They're all, it's basically like, the Saturday night version, WCW Saturday night version. Remember how they would always put the TV title on WCW Saturday night in the later years?
Yeah.
That's what they're doing with, like, the Ring of Honor titles. Like, that's the equivalent.
Hey, all I got to say is still no TV deal, so it's basically a pay-per-view titles, basically.
All right. So Jade Cargill came out with Kiera Hogan. See, another person I'm not familiar with. Jermaine Dupri. I think I might have heard this name before. Accompanied Jade.
Wait, and you don't know Jermaine Dupri?
Should I know who this is?
Yes, man. What's going on?
I gotta ask my wife. I don't really listen to music.
Is she anymore. Around?
No, she's in the bedroom.
She's okay, up there. Listen. You need to go get her and ask her real quick. Do you know who Jermaine Dupri is? She's gonna look at you like... This guy.
I'm sure, dude, I don't, like, she watches a lot of shows and listens to a lot of music. I have no idea what the hell she listens to outside of the
gospel.
Have
you ever heard of Money in the Thing with him?
No. And Jay-Z? Wait, Jay-Z? I know who that is.
Okay, if you know who Jay-Z is, okay, I'll give you that. You ever heard of...
I feel like everybody knows who that guy is.
You ever heard of him and Ludacris, Welcome to Atlanta?
I know Ludacris, yeah.
So you just never heard the song. You know the artist?
Yeah, I guess. I know the song. I mean the person, not the song. All right, I'm going to look this up afterwards and then watch. I'm going
to
end up.
He used to date Janet Jackson.
That doesn't mean anything to me. That I obviously know who that is. I'd have to be a complete idiot to not know who that is. No, I guess not. I'm out of the loop.
Yeah, you're not. How are you out of the loop? Listen, if you know who Jay-Z is, you should know who Jermaine Dupri is. Jermaine Dupri is like one of the major producers ever. You know Kanye West, right?
Of course. I think everybody knows who that guy is.
Absolutely. We're going to continue this later.
I can't believe this. Should I be knowing all this?
I don't expect you not to know Kevin Gates. I respect that. But do you know T.I.?
Yeah, he had that TV show, right?
Jesus. Okay.
Before no, but TV he had, show, didn't he have a reality was, show? Him and his wife had a reality show, right?
Yeah, but before a TV show, he's a rapper.
I did know that, though. I do know who he is, but I knew that he had a rap career. But I mostly know him from his TV show. And he's an actor too. Doesn't he act as well?
He acted in a few roles. You're correct. Yes.
See,
I'm about to educate you.
I do know who he is, though, even though I don't think I know any of his songs. And honestly, I think I only know one Jay-Z song, the one that they play all over and over.
Well, you know what? I can't even get mad because, you know, at least you know them. That means they cross over to different genres. So I respect that. At least you know who Jay-Z is and
T.I. He's on TV all the time. Yeah, T.I. I mean, I've watched the reality show with him and his wife, and they got like a large family. And it's actually quite entertaining.
Do you know Dame Dash?
I know that name. I know the name. I'm trying to. At least I know the name. Come on. I'm going to catch some hell. I'm going to catch some hell next time I see you, aren't I? I know the name. That's, you know. I don't keep up. I don't listen to a lot of the radio outside of like Sirius. Oh, I know that one. Yep, I know that.
Definitely.
I know a lot. Oh, of course I know. That's like, yes, of course. You got to be living under a rock if you don't know that. Oh, look at who it is. Fly Nye is here. Talk to him. What's going on? Oh, he's telling him to enlighten me. Get out of here. Now I'm... Goodbye. Love you, buddy.
50 Cent?
Of course. I know who that is. That guy's like, yeah, but that guy, and he was on that show.
Bad Boy?
I don't know who.
You don't know Bad Boy? Bad Boy Records?
I don't think so. I'm not.
That's the last one I'm going to tell you. Bad Boy Records. You don't know P. Diddy?
Of course I know who that fuck that guy is. He's a moron.
Jesus.
You don't tell me you're a fan. I think he's an idiot.
No, I'm not a fan, but he was the owner of Bad Boy Records.
Oh, really? That's, yeah. Yeah. I know. I've seen him before. I've seen him perform on TV and stuff. I think it's a ridiculous. He's a ridiculous guy.
Well, I don't like Diddy either, so I respect that.
Did you ever see him make fun of him on Saturday Night Live? Tim Meadows?
I seen that. I seen Dave Chappelle make fun of him.
Yeah.
I will never forget he ran the New York Marathon and caught a cramp at the end of it. Yeah. Making a band and having people walk cheesecake from
I'm gonna catch some hell from our listeners now. If I get any emails, it's your fault.
At the Rick Del Santos. he doesn't know any of these record labels, artists.
He only knows
the people that cross over.
Listen, I grew up listening to
Beastie Boys.
Of course I knew who the hell they are. I grew up listening to like punk rock when I was a kid. Like that's what I listened to, you know? So and even still to this day.
See, I'm not gonna give you a hard time because if you tell me, okay, do I know a rock band or something like that, I'll be like, I don't know. But
do you know who David Bowie is?
I know David Bowie.
Yeah, everybody knows who that guy is. But
I know Queen. I know Led Zeppelin.
You know who Iggy and the Stooges are?
It sounds familiar.
Iggy Pop. Yeah, exactly. So just say we're in the same boat, man.
We gonna get back to this match because now we need to do a podcast of music now. Let's see this.
I'm more than open to that. I'm gonna sit here and I'm just gonna play songs for you for like an hour. So, all right, let's see.
We're gonna have a Rick Del Santo and Marcel Williams versus.
God, this is fun. All right, we had Jade Cargill and Kiera Hogan defeated Athena and Willow Nightingale. Yeah, I don't really care. Anytime Jade is in the ring, I don't think Adonis is still tuned in, so it's okay for me to say. I mean, it's okay for me to say that anyways. she has been improving, don't get me wrong, but I just don't see what the big deal is, to be honest with you. I'm glad Athena is here. Willow, I'm a huge fan of. I'm even a huge fan of Kiera Hogan.
With the wrestling world now.
Who's that?
Willow Nightingale.
She's very good. Yeah, I absolutely. And I think, and I really dig the other one, Akira Hogan as well. I think she's great.
Yeah, she performed well in Impact Wrestling. I don't know what's maybe she kind of like toned it down a bit, but she's a very great, she won a great additions to the roster. So hopefully she revealed more than what she did in Impact Wrestling a few years ago.
I think she is a great performer. I just don't think that AEW utilizes her well enough, personally. She's Jade's sidekick, or a lot of times, even for like what, months, she was just jobbing out on like Dark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I was happy to see her, you know, get to AEW because I thought, you know, she'd be featured better, and it seems like she's on her way there now.
I agree with that.
Like scary movies? What about science fiction and cult films? Then please visit Shocking Things. You can search for us on your favorite podcatcher. You can also go to anchor.fm/shockingthings for the main hub for the links to episodes and our social media. Now try and enjoy the daylight. Shocking Things.
Tracy Smothers, Harley Race, Tim Storm, Bushwhacker Luke, Bobby Fulton. The Pro Wrestling Vault, Volume 1. Bill Dundee, Super Mex Hernandez, C.W. Anderson, Ricky Morton, Sir Mo, and many others share their stories of determination, triumph, and sorrow. Get your book today at Russellville.com or at Amazon.com.
Russellville, it's wrestling biz.
Do we have to talk about the Thunderstorm promo?
No, we don't.
All right, good. Thank
because
you.
All it did was lead to Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter with the same old stuff that I really don't understand. You got all these women on the roster, and we still back to the same phase one again.
All right, so I'm going to get to the barbed wire everywhere match.
You want to talk about pros or cons?
Let's just throw our, you know, shit out there.
Well, I'll let you read certain results first, and then I'll let you rant, and then I rant.
Ruby Soho was out there. She's she's controlling the cage that the Jericho Society Appreciation Society is in. It's locked, obviously, and lifted, a la Jim Cornette in 1986, 87. The intro for Jericho, I thought, was really intense. He came in his painmaker gear and makeup. I thought this was going to be a more interesting and better match, to be honest with you. Eddie Kingston came in, grabbed the microphone from Justin Roberts. It was covered in barbed wire. He went immediately after Jericho. And Jericho was cut open pretty much right away. What do you think?
I'm just going to say the two performers that was in this ring that performed this match, they put their bodies online. I respect their hard work. And they worked hard to put this match together. As for the booking, it was too much going on. Truthfully, I think the right man went over. I know people kind of have been listening all day to other podcast platforms, and they like, oh, well, you know, I kind of feel like Eddie Kingston should have won this. You got to remember, Eddie Kingston won the first match that they had. And, you know, Jericho had to get that win, because he should be next in line against Jon Moxley for the interim AEW championship.
The interim, yeah. I think you're right. I think there was too much going on. AEW does do that they have a lot going on at all different times. You know what I mean? In a single match, there's shit going on in the back. It's overbooked. Yeah. Let's be serious.
This match was way overbooked.
Of course, you knew somehow Ruby was going to get attacked of some sort, and then the Jericho Appreciation Society was going to magically find their way out of the cage and get involved as well. So they didn't use that bed of barbed wire that was just sitting outside the ring throughout during the match. So what happened? Eddie Kingston just threw Jericho after the match, after he was upset that he lost, into the barbed wire. Once that shit was not used in the match, I don't think you need to use it after. I just think it added, it was just laying. It didn't, that part was just rather aggravating. It just didn't, to me, it didn't make much sense, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree, but I guess they had to give Eddie Kingston something since Jericho took the win. Truthfully, this match was already messed up anyway, because when Jericho Appreciated Society decided to walk out and go in the cage, you didn't see Sammy Guevara or Conti. So that was already a red flag already. Even though they tried to cover up and say, well, he fell off the cage, we didn't know whether he was there or not. You know, they tried to cover it up, but you can't cover it up if all of them have been in there. With Anna Jay turning on Ruby to side with them, I mean, you could have done it much better. You could have had Ty Conti in the cage, and then have Anna Jay dress up and attack Ruby and then reveal herself. You know what I'm saying? You could have did it that way, and then had Anna Jay lower the cage and then take the key and unlock the cage. It was just so much stuff that was going on that just did not need to go on. Even the ending was cluster. Like I said, nothing against the performers that sat there and cut themselves with barbed wire and go out there and perform the way they did. They did their job, but the booking around the whole situation didn't make no sense.
Yeah, I didn't find this match very intriguing throughout the match. I just, as the match was going on, I became less and less interested in it during it.
Yeah, and then not only that, you had the whole group versus group thing. We just had blood and guts. That should have been done already. It should have been between only Chris Jericho and Eddie Kingston. So it defeated the purpose of blood and guts, because we back at phase one again with all these guys battling each other outside.
Yeah. And of course, you see, did you see like Jericho had that huge split in his trunks between his legs from the barbed wire?
Yeah, I seen the exclusive after the show. Yeah, they had to cut up, they had to get some wire cutters and cut him out.
Was he really like, I know obviously they threw him in the thing and obviously it's going to be painful, but he was like freaking out. Do you think that was legit, or do you think that, you know, that was part of the game, part of the work?
Everything is a work, brother.
Life is a work.
Life is a work.
Because I was like, he looked like he was having a seizure, and I'm just like, I get it. That probably kills, but I'm like, I don't know, because, you know,
it's not fun to fall in some thumbtacks or barbed wire.
I've stepped on thumbtacks before. That's the extent of it. I'm not going to try to do anything more than that. So
I did too. It's not fun.
I would never want to do that. I mean, it's not like WCW used to use fake barbed wire, if you remember correct. So, you know, it's just comical in a way. Or they would shave down the spikes on it. So,
yeah.
All right. And that was AEW Fyter Fest. Night 2 was mediocre, with the exception of the match. I just grew less and less interested on it as it went in, like I said.
Well, hopefully one of these feuds, which is, you know, there's a lot of feuds out there that I wish was, like, over with. This should be over with.
Yeah.
Jericho should move on. Jericho, you know, Orange Cassidy won the feud. You know, John Moxley won the feud that he had before that. MJF won the feud with Jericho. So you got to give Jericho something. This was one of them.
All right, so I'm going to go through Dynamite list and then, right now, and then I'll get I'll put out the Death Before Dishonor list. Let's see. Rampage, Friday night. Hangman Page and John Silver taking on The Butcher and the Blade. Lee Moriarty and Dante Martin. Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter will be in action. It'll be a rap battle between Max Caster and Austin Gunn. I'm going to have to clip that and bring it here for next Tuesday.
Please do.
I will. And Jay Lethal taking on a returning Christopher Daniels. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, that should be a very good match for Rampage.
Two additional matches were announced for Death Before Dishonor. I'm going to go through the lineup now. One is Allison Kay is going to take on Willow Nightingale, the one that we were just talking about. Who's I think she's a phenomenal performer. Seriously.
Yes,
she
is.
Great. And like you said, future star. So Jonathan Gresham defends the title against Claudio Castagnoli. Oh, my God. I'm having trouble pronouncing this guy's name. Not like I haven't said it so many times over the years. That match, I think, is just going to be great. Can I predict a match of the year candidate already this time, this early?
You can, but there's another match of the year candidate. There's a few match of the year candidates on this card.
Just on this one card alone?
Just on this one card alone.
BST presents Mega Clash, August 20th, from the Rapola Center in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Watch newly crowned Monarch champion Evie De La Rosa defend her title against Vina Von Starr. A rivalry reignited in the main event. Lucas Chase challenges Dustin Waller in a ladder match for the BST Championship. It all comes to a head one final time.
PWZ Podcast with Rick Del Santo. For all your wrestling reviews, interviews, and news,
Rick covers the United Wrestling Network,
the NWA,
and the Northeast region of the United States independent scene.
PWZ
keeps you in the zone.
You know, we're going to have to do a whole year review. We're going to have to do like a card of the year as well. All that shit. We might. Jay Lethal and Samoa Joe for the ROH Television Championship. I think we gave our thoughts on this about half an hour ago or so. So I don't think we need to.
Yeah, we did. But I'm going to get my thoughts on the whole show as a whole after you're done with the lineup.
Sure. We got Willie Yuta defending his Pure Championship against Daniel Garcia, which that's probably going to be a very, very good match. FTR, of course, defending against the Briscoes, Mark and Jay. Two out of three falls for the ROH World Tag Team Championship. That might be, like you said, one of the matches, best matches of the evening, probably match of the year candidate as well. So, I mean, the Briscoes can really not have a bad match, and neither could FTR. Of course, for the women's title, Mercedes Martinez defending against Serena Deeb, which will also be, I believe that's going to be a very good match. And I believe last night also announced was the Righteous, Vincent, Bateman, and Dutch, the Trios champions, defending against Dalton Castle and the boys, Brandon Tate and Brent Tate. So that is ROH Death Before Dishonor. It's this Saturday. Our review will be announced. We'll announce when we're going to review it. So, it's going to be a great show. Personal opinion.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show. And I just recently checked out a countdown to Death Before Dishonor. And if you ever want to get hyped up for this event that's coming on Saturday, check that out on YouTube. It's really a must see. You may not have seen stuff on Rampage or, you know, Dynamite enough, like even the Jay Lethal and Samoa Joe feud, they really go in depth on the countdown show to make you get hyped up for this match. Not like the way they did on Dynamite or you know, Rampage, but look at this countdown show and you really gonna love what's gonna go down this Saturday for ROH Death Before Dishonor.
Absolutely. Marcel, is there anything else that you want to talk about before we get out of here?
Nah, man, I just appreciate everybody tuning in live right now for PWZ Podcast. And if you're not live, I appreciate you listening to all the podcast platforms that we have displayed every time we put these posters up for any events that we review. But I appreciate everybody coming in, tuning in, supporting us, and continue to support, make this bigger than what it's supposed to be. So keep tuning in, and we keep pushing out the content.
For everybody that's listening, I want to thank you for tuning in. I also want to say, hey, check out the new PWZpodcast.com. You can get the link to Spotify for each and every single episode in the history of the podcast. Plus, you can catch small bios on me and Marcel and many other things to come on that website. There's a link to our merch page on there and so much more. Thank you very much for tuning in, and make sure you check us all out on social media. Have a great night, and I'll see you guys over the weekend. Bye-bye.